We've already wished all the human fathers in here Happy Father's Day. What I want us to do right now is put our hands together and wish our Heavenly Father a Happy Father's Day. Amen. God is awesome. He's truly the ultimate Father. And if you've not noticed, we earthly fathers are not perfect. We got some rough edges. But praise God, the Father in heaven is perfect. Amen.
Amen.
And you and I will make mistakes. But it doesn't make us any less of fathers because we're not perfect. And so again, as your evangelist, I want to honor all the fathers in here this morning. You guys are awesome. It's not easy being a dad. I think it's even more challenging being a Christian father. Because you and I know that God has called us to live our lives according to the scriptures. And to raise our families. And to love our wives based on what the Bible teaches. And that's very, very challenging. It takes courage. It takes faith. It takes wisdom to do that and to live according to that day in and day out. And because of that, brothers, I honor you. I honor you. We're on a journey. We're just getting started. But one day we're going to stand before our Heavenly Father. Amen. And He's going to be able to look at every single one of us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now come in and enjoy your master's happiness. And it's going to be a beautiful day. It really will be. But you know how boys are. These three boys are bragging about their dads. And about what their dads do. The first boy said, you know, my dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper and calls it a poem. And they pay him $50 for it. The second boy goes, that's nothing. My father scribbles a few words on a piece of paper and calls it a song, and they pay him $100. The third boy goes, I got you both beat. My dad scribbles down a few words on a piece of paper, and he calls it a sermon, and it takes 12 guys to count the money. You see, it's good being a preacher. We don't have 12 guys counting the money in this church. We have a few brothers doing it, but that's awesome. This morning, I want us to examine very quickly a very special relationship as we talk about Father's Day. And that is Jesus' relationship to His Heavenly Father. Because I really believe that as brothers, as men, if we're going to be the ideal fathers that God has called us to be, we have to look to the relationship that Jesus had with His Father. Amen? Remember, He had the perfect Father. And there's so much in the Scriptures for us to learn. The Bible tells us that Jesus imitated God in everything. As a matter of fact, He said, you know what? Once you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. The Bible tells us that Jesus was an exact representation of God. In other words, this God that you and I call Father, in human form, that was Jesus. Incredible relationship. Now, I don't want all the sisters to tune out and say, well, he's just talking to the men. No, I'm talking to everybody. Amen? Yes, Jesus was a man. He wasn't a woman. But there is a lot to learn from His relationship with His Father. And so, sisters, I don't want you to feel like, you know what, this is just for Father's Day. It's for everybody. Amen?
Amen?
But it's amazing, when you look at Jesus, you saw God, the Father. When you looked at Jesus, you saw His dad. You know, sometimes, you know, we use this phrase, you know, when you see kids acting like their parents, or a boy acting like his father, you say, like father, like son. And that's the title of my lesson this morning, by the way, like father, like son. And I pray that, honestly, that people will be able to look at us both men and women, and go, you know what? Like father, like son. Like father, like daughter. Because they see Jesus in us. Because they see God in us. Amen? That's what I want us to talk about very quickly this morning. We're going to look at two of God's attributes. The Bible tells us that God is light, and that's what we're going to read right now in 1 John, beginning chapter 1. 1 John 1, in verse 5. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. And his word has no place in our lives." Right here in verse 5, it tells us that God is light. Amen? So, what kind of children should we also be? We need to be children of light. It goes without saying. You and I, the Bible teaches that we were called out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen? We're living in the light. We're walking in the light. But you see, in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither does somebody light a lamp and put it under a bushel. But you place it in such a place that it can give light to everybody." Amen? You and I have been called to be lights. Are you a light in your family? Are you a light in your neighborhood? Are you a light at your workplace? Do you walk into a room and you light up the place? That's what Jesus did. When Jesus walked into a place, you knew he was there. He wasn't this shy, "Well, let me just sit here, mind my own business" kind of person. No. Jesus walked in. Even before he got into the room, you heard he was on his way. Amen? He says, "We are now the light of the world." He says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see our good deeds and give glory to God in heaven." Amen? What kind of a light are you? Are you a light that is shining brightly? Are we men, are we fathers that can call our children to imitate us in everything? Like Gary was saying in his class this morning, you know, a lot of times with public figures, we feel like, yeah, they got their private life and they have their public life. But like he said, who you truly are is the private life. The public face is just a facade. Are you with me? We need to be a light everywhere we are. That needs to be who we are. People should see us. People should see our good deeds and give glory to God. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know what? I didn't have a great human father. And you may have had a great experience with your father, but you don't understand my situation. Yes, I do. Because we got the example of Jesus in the Bible. We can look to Jesus. We can look at his relationship with his father and use that as our model. And the awesome thing I love about being a Christian is the fact that God has allowed you and I to become Christians so that we can be the fathers that we need to be for our families. Again, I don't know what your relationship with your father was growing up. When I was growing up, I did not like my father. In my culture, it's common to have several wives. It's not against the culture. People don't go have mistresses and have affairs. They just marry them. And that's okay in my culture. My father wanted to marry a second wife, and my mother said, "No way." And so my father left. And my mother practically raised us. Now my father would come over, you know, once every week just to say hello, and I'd go over. But I didn't have a relationship with him. I remember when I came to the U.S. to go to college. I was having a conversation with my mom one day on the telephone. I can't even remember what we were talking about. And I said, you know what? I want to change my last name. I said, this guy's not done anything for me. Referring to my father. I said, why should I continue to bear this name? I want to change my last name. My mother begged me not to do it. And I'm glad I listened. He said, Richard, God has taken care of you. God has taken care of us. Forgive him. This was many years before I became a Christian. Just let it go. God has allowed you to become somebody without him. Forgive him. And I did. Such that, you know, obviously later on I became a disciple of Jesus. And I went back home and I started reaching out to my dad. And I shared this before and I'll share it again. He started studying the scriptures. He would come to church every Sunday. He was always there. He would sit right next to me. We started studying the scriptures. He started saying things in the Bible and he backed off. I said, brother, I said, what shall we do? Leave him alone. On his own, he started coming back again. Started getting into the Bible. And I'll forget it. He sent for me after the brothers had looked at sin and repentance with him. And I walked in. He asked me to sit down. And my father looked at me. And he said, I know growing up, I wasn't there and I didn't give everything. I wasn't the dad I was meant to be. And says, I just want to ask you to forgive me. And there was tears in his eyes. Obviously, I was also crying. It's still very emotional for me. He got baptized a few weeks later. He died 4 years, a day shy of being 4 years as a Christian. You see, we're supposed to be a light. And God has called you and I to change the eternal destiny of all the descendants that's going to come from us. You say, Richard, you're putting pressure. Let me tell you something. This is pressure. God has called you into his kingdom for a reason. So that our descendants, our kids, their kids, and the kids that's going to come after them, and all our descendants will have an opportunity to be with God forever in eternity. That's why we got to take this thing very, very seriously. This is not a joke. Amen? This is life. And we got Jesus and this relationship with God to guide us. Amen? We all have an incredible opportunity to become great fathers. Fathers that are so awesome that your daughters will one day marry a guy just like you. Can your daughter say that? That, you know what, I want to marry a man just like my father. If they can't say that, bro, you need to check yourself. There needs to be some major repentance. And vice versa. Where we have sons that are going to imitate us and want to be like us. Where other girls say, you know what, I want my daughter to marry somebody just like him. Oh, Richard, that's pressure. Welcome to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Have you read your Bible lately? You will hear about a guy who was walking with God, and then he influences his kids, and then they walk with God, and that thing is not passed on, and then the next guy is totally messed up. And sometimes it takes 3-4 generations to rectify the thing. Yes, there is pressure. But you see, with God on our side, God will help us out. Amen? Amen. The next thing I want us to look at again very quickly is in 1 John 4, in verse 6, the fact that God is love. We've talked about God is light, and you and I need to become light. Amen? Now let's talk about God is love very quickly. In 1 John 4, in verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Again, we're told right here that God is love. Amen? That's who he is. In his persona. That's who we need to be as his children. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, go ahead and turn there. We all know that we are all very familiar with this passage. It gives us a definition of what love is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. These are the kind of people God is calling us to be. And it's something we need to continue to grow in on a daily basis. Are you growing in your patience? Are you a kind person? Do you envy? Are you proud? Are you self-seeking? Are you easily angered? This is my thorn in my side. It's very easy for me to get angry. But you see, the Bible says that's not love. The Bible says it keeps no record of wrongs. That's the kind of people God is calling us to as fathers. Amen? Amen? Remember that you and I were sinners. And guess what? Our children are sinners. And so it's going to be hard for us, you know, to have a very, very short memory. They're going to mess up, and you're going to have to forgive them and move on. Just like we do. When we mess up, God forgives us and moves on. Amen? We got to be the same way. Oh yeah, back in 1945, you said this or you didn't do this. Come on, man. I don't get that. I honestly don't. I mean, some of us, we have memories like elephants in here. Because you remember something somebody did or didn't do for you back 2 years ago. And you forget that every day God forgives you. Who are you to hold this thing over this person? It's not like God. You're keeping a record of wrongs. Oh yeah, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Show me that in the Bible. What if God were to treat us that way? Oh yeah, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. I'm glad that as far as the east is from the west, so has he wiped all my transgressions away from me. Amen? That's what we've got to be. Men and women who love. We can all be like this. And when we become like this, I promise you, people will gravitate towards you. Naturally. Have you ever noticed how people that are very loving, they just constantly have people around them? They are not self-seeking. They are not rude. They are not selfish. They always protect. They always trust. And that's why people love being around them. Amen? I pray that God would, you know, God would transform us so that people would look at our lives. And even without opening our mouths, by the way we live our lives, the way we conduct ourselves, people can tell that we're God's children. Now, who's a Christian in this office? Oh, let me tell you who that person is. And it's not because she's carrying a Bible around. It's not because he's preaching sermons. But boy, you look at their life. Like father, like son. They remind me of God. Amen? That's what we've got to become. You know, and it's very important, and I'm going to say this in closing, that as fathers, we really put our kids and our families before God on a daily basis. I'm not just talking about, oh God, please be with my family. Father, please bless my kids. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where you get very specific. Okay? My Bible tells me that the prayer of a righteous are powerful. They are effective. God hears those prayers. My grandfather on my mother's side was the one who taught me how to pray when I was 11 years old. And he would pray over me, and he would pray for me on a daily basis. And I can honestly tell you that I have been the beneficiary of the prayers of that man. He was a lay Anglican minister. Let me tell you something. Your prayers make a difference. That is where the battle is won and lost. And so, brothers, I want to encourage you to get very specific. Okay? Let me share with you some of the things I pray about. And you don't have to do what I'm doing. I'm just being open with you. I pray for my kids. I pray for the kids they're going to have. I pray for their husbands that they're going to have. They're not going to have any kind of disease. I don't want any Down syndrome or this some ailment. I don't want that in my family. I tell that to God. I put it before Him. The kind of men these girls are going to marry, I put them before God. I don't know who they are right now, but I am praying for those young men. I'm not leaving this thing to chance. You cannot afford to either. He said, oh, Richard, I don't have time to do that kind of prayer. Oh, yeah, then you are too busy. Then you got your priorities all messed up. These are the kind of things we got to be praying, and I mean on a daily basis. Amen? Because like you and I know, this world is not getting any better. If anything, it's getting worse. It is getting worse. We got to be putting our families, we got to be putting our wives before God. Another thing we got to do as brothers, we're talking about God being love, is to love our wives. That's one of the biggest things you can do for your children. Love their mother. Love them. Take care of them. Such that your kids, our kids, are going to grow up and they're going to want to have marriages like we have. Amen? You're not going to have this, one of these, well, I can't, oops, I'm 18, I am out of here. Uh-uh. If anything, they're not going to want to go. You're going to have to say, you know what, you need to get out. Oh, I'm coming back in. I've done my part. It's time to go now. It's time to go. You can come and visit. I'll see you in a few months. Amen? Amen. Like father, like son. Like father, like daughter. That's how we're going to honor God in our lives on a daily basis. Amen? Amen. God bless you all.